Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your truth, God. And I ask for you, Holy Spirit, to help me to deliver this message to your people, God. Lord, help us to receive, to hear, to grow, to change, to be transformed through your word. And we are here for you. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory for the victories in our life. God, we have overcome this world because we are in you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for all the wonderful things that you're doing in our lives, for the miracles, God, for the healings, God, for the restoration, God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing in this ministry, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Everyone say big amen. Amen. Shake someone's hand as you find your seat. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, as you can tell, in this church, in this new year, this year of restoration, we are turning up the heat. If you're not ready for it, you might get burned. But we're turning up the heat in this new year. If it's too hot for you, if it's too hot, what they say, get out the kitchen. So we're turning up the heat around here in this ministry, and we're not apologizing for it because we have work to do as a church. We have work to do as a church. Do you know that God has the church in society, in this world? We're not of this world, but we're in this world. He has us here for a specific reason, to build his kingdom. And you know how we build his kingdom? You know how we build his kingdom? Through faith and obedience to his word. God's kingdom must be built. Turn to somebody and say, it has to get built. It has to be built. And the people who build it are you and me. We are the ones who are responsible for putting the hammer to the nail and building the kingdom of God here in this earth. God uses us in order to change and transform society, every aspect of society all around us. And we should be the principal influence of positive things and good things that come out of the body of Christ and influence for the glory of God the community around us. We should be influencing our families, because it starts in the home. We should be influencing our schools. Our work atmosphere should be influenced by the Spirit of God in us. Every aspect of our community, our neighborhoods, should be influenced by the God that we serve and the God that we are devoted to. Amen? Amen. And the way that we do that is through our faith in God. The number one issue that society faces right now is a lack of faith in God. The number one issue society, I'm going to say it again. The number one issue society faces right now is a lack of faith in God. Because when you put your faith in God, you will follow God's word. You will obey God's word. You will do what he has asked you to do. You will live according to his precepts and his principles. You will live according to his standard. You will support your local church, just like we heard from Pastor Shorter and Mrs. Shorter. When you have faith in God, you will obey God. You will have obedience to God's word. God's word says that you are supposed to financially, as the church, we are supposed to financially support our local church, our ministry. The ministry, wherever you feed, that's wherever you eat, wherever you receive, that's where you should sow. That's where you should supply resources to. We're supposed to financially support our church. And the word of God makes it clear that we're supposed to be financially supporting the ministers who feed us the word of God. I know the world told you that you're not, but you are. We're supposed to be supporting so that those who preach the word of God should live off of the gospel. This is the word of God, that we shouldn't have to go and struggle and try to do Uber on Sunday morning before we're coming to church. We should be able to come to church and freely preach the word of God, because the church is supporting the ministry and the minister. Amen. Just like you expect to be compensated for your time and your talents, God expects his people to be compensated, his ministers to be compensated. Oh, you can get mad about it if you want to be compensated. And so we should support what God has given us, being good stewards. This is how we are to be good stewards over what God places in our hands, what God gives us. This church God has given to you, it's a gift. You should be thankful for the church that you are a part of. The leadership in this church is a gift from God. You should be thankful for. I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking about the leadership of this ministry. You should be thankful for the gift that God has given you, and you should put your money where your mouth is. Amen. Because if you care about something and if your heart is invested into something, you'll support something. Somebody told me that there was a football game yesterday. I believe it was in Detroit. And the game was a playoff game. And so the tickets for this game were a little higher or a lot higher than a normal regular season football game. And someone told me that they were charging at some of the parking lots around the stadium, they were charging $1,000 just to park their cars. $1,000 so that you can park your car on my lot. And guess what? People paid that $1,000. Why? Because that's where their heart is. They want to go and support their team. Hey, that's fine. As long as you have the same attitude towards God's house. As long as you have the same type of attitude towards the things of God. That's not the message that I came to preach today, but y'all pulling that out of me, so I'm going to go ahead and roll with it. Praise God. So God expects for us to love him and support him, not just in word, but in deed, in what we do. And this is faith, because the Bible tells us clearly that faith without works is dead in the book of James. Faith without works is dead. In other words, when you say you have faith in God, but you don't do what he has commanded you to do or what he has instructed you to do, then you have no faith. That faith that you profess to have is as dead can be. So in order for us to have faith in God, we have to show it by what we do and what we allow ourselves to follow in his word. Amen. Amen, amen. Say faith. Say, I got faith. Say it a little louder. Say, I got faith. Come on, say, I got faith. Come on, say it till you believe it. Say, I got faith. Say, I got faith. Say, I got faith in God. Say, I have faith in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You could replace the word walk with live. For we live by faith and not by sight. This is how we live as believers, believing that God said it. If he said it, he will do it. His promises are yes and amen. And so we walk by faith, obedience to him. Every step we take is a step of obedience to God. The question is, how is your faith doing? If we're walking by faith, then that means in order for us to have a healthy walk, we have to have healthy faith. Our faith has to be strong. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm here to submit to you today that in order for us to have good, healthy, strong faith in God, we have to be regularly hearing the word of God. We have to be feeding on the word of God. That's why coming to church is so important. That's why listening and hearing the word of God all throughout the week is so important, because you're feeding yourself the word of faith. And when you feed on the word of faith, you become stronger for the walk, for the life that God has set you out to live. I don't know about you, but I want to live the life that God intends for me to live. Do you know that God intends, maybe you're not a Christian in here, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, but do you know that God intends for you to live a better life than what you've been living? Do you know that there is a better life that is found through the word of God that you can live today? You can start today living a better life than you ever thought you could live. I don't care what you're coming out of, what kind of background you have, how you grew up, how poor you were. Do you know that God has a better life for you in his kingdom? Each and every one of us, God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can walk by faith, living a better life, a life of, watch this, triumph, a life of victory, not a life of pain and struggle and confusion, but a life of victory, a life of triumph over the trials of life. Because we all deal with trials. We all deal with hard times. We all deal with rough situations, tough situations. We all have our own proverbial 7 years of hell. But God is the God, if we walk by faith, he's the God who overcomes, who helps us to overcome every single trial that the enemy sets our way. Amen? Are y'all ready to win as believers? If you come to this church, expecting to learn how to win in life. Don't come to this church any longer expecting for us to be okay with you staying the way that you were. This is a come as you are church, but we know that God loves you so much, he's not gonna leave you the way that you were. We intend for you to be transformed and changed by being a part of this ministry. Our intention for you as pastors is for you to get plugged into this ministry and for you to get better. The word of God was given for us, not for us to feel better, but for us to be better. God's intention is for us to be growing from glory to glory. Amen. And so we are here today in order to receive God's word so that we can be challenged to be able to be better for the Lord. Amen. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13, verse number 27. Y'all ready to get into the word? We'll see. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 27. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 27, please. Just a little background on what's going on here in Numbers 27, Numbers 13, 27. Israel, of course, given the promise of the promised land, is right on the doorstep, is right in the doorway of the promised land that God had promised to his people. And so Moses was given a command from the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses in verse number 1, and he told Moses to pick out a man from each tribe, a leader from each tribe of Israel. There's 12 tribes of Israel. And for him to pick out one representative for each tribe and for them to go and to spy out, to look at the land, the place that God had promised for them to inhabit. And so Moses did as the Lord commanded, and he sent the 12 spies to go and to check out, to go preview the land that God had already told them was theirs. He went to go check out the land that God had already told him was theirs, the promised land. And so the spies returned back, and that's where we pick up the story here in verse number 27. Y'all got it? It says, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they brought back some fruit or some proof that this land is good. In verse number 28, it says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people, because Caleb was one of the ones who went along with the rest of the 12. He went to go check out the land. But Caleb, his response or his word of the land was different than the rest of the men. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said in verse number 30, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Now remember, the report from the spies, from the majority of the spies, was that the people who inhabit this land, that they are strong, and that they really, they have fortification, and they have all kinds of weaponry and all kinds of things going on, and they're very large. And we saw the descendants of Anak there, which were giants. We saw giants in the land. But Caleb, he quieted the people, because as they gave this report, it caused the people to kind of murmur in fear. And that's why it's important for us to receive the word of faith, not the word of fear, not the word of doubt, not the word of someone's opinion with regards to what it is that God has called us to do as a ministry and as people a part of this ministry. Because if you're not careful, you'll believe the wrong thing, and what should be faith becomes fear and a lack of faith. And so they're careful, they're here hearing this word, and Caleb, he quieted the people at an attempt to try to keep them from hearing all this doubt and all this negative talk as to why they couldn't go and take the land. In verse number 31, but the men who had gone with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Underline stronger than we. In the verse number 32, it says, "They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in," underline, "our own sight. And so we were in their sight." These spies viewed themselves as grasshoppers. How do you see yourself as a child of God? The way that we see ourselves is more important than the way anybody else sees us. The way that we view ourselves is more important than anything anyone has ever said about who we are. And we have to change our self-perception of who we are. You're not your mistakes. You're not your failures. You're not all your missteps. You are a new creature in Christ. You are a child of the living God. You are someone special in the kingdom of God. But the chosen people, the spies who went to spy out this land, they didn't see that. They didn't understand that. And they saw some people who were strong. Forgot that he is the one who got them out of Egypt, out of captivity in Egypt, and freed them and parted the Red Sea. And did all these miraculous things. And as if he can't defeat these people, these giants in this land. And I'm saying this because us as a church, we have a land, a promised land, a proverbial place that God wants to take us into. Each and every one of you have a better place than where you've been that God wants to take you to. And if you're not careful, you will die in the doorstep of your destiny. You will die right there on the precipice, on the threshold of what God has called you to, because you will allow fear and excuses to keep you from propelling and pushing forward in faith. Faith is intended for us to obey God, not because it all makes sense, but obey God until it makes sense. Write that down. I need to obey God until it makes sense. Obey God. If you're still scratching your head about what God is doing, just keep walking by faith. Because eventually it all makes sense. I don't care if it's been 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever it's been, if you keep obeying God and walking in faith, eventually it will make sense, because God is true to his promises. He answers them, and they are yes and amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Caleb said, we are able to go and to take this land. We also know that Joshua, who was one of the spies, he said that they were able. So you had two out of the 12 who were given a good report that we were able. But a lot of times the majority rules. And then in this case, the majority did rule. And it caused the nation of Israel, caused these people to do what should turn a 12-day trip into a 40-year adventure in a circle in the wilderness. They were supposed to go and inhabit that land that God had promised them, but it ended up taking them 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness because they didn't think that they could do it. They assumed, they looked at themselves as grasshoppers, as small in their own sight. And so they felt that they were seen that way by their enemies. God wants us to have a large view of who we are because he is in us and with us. He's using us. He's working in us. He's working through us. He has never failed us. He has never failed you. And he won't start. He is God and God alone. And he is the God of his promises. We don't remember the other 10 spies because when you walk by fear, you don't get remembered. You're not chronicled in history when you live by fear. And some of you in here, you've been allowing fear to hold you back from walking forward and obtaining the promise that God has given to you. And guess what? You'll never get there until you choose to move in faith. Turn to somebody and say, move. Turn to someone else and say, you need to move. You got to take that step in faith. And we talked about this last Sunday, that as we take that step, God does the work. He does the work. He is the miracle worker. He's the healer. He's the restorer. He is the fixer of whatever is broken. But he's waiting for us to take the proper step in obedience and in faith. God has called us to do that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Put your finger in Numbers. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27. Matthew 9, 27. Says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. There's blind men on the road who had heard about Jesus, and Jesus was passing by. Jesus passed by, and it says that the blind man came to him, or they followed him. Who have you been following? Who have you been following? You know, on social media, we follow a lot of people. You follow people on there, you follow them, maybe they're showing you or teaching you about different recipes, teaching you how to build and fix cars, teaching you all these different things, and we follow people on social media. But God says, if you follow me, you'll receive your healing, you'll receive your sight. So these blind men who could not see heard about Jesus. That's why we say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because the world has a saying, I'll believe it when I see it. But in God's kingdom, you have to see it. You have to believe it before you see it. And when you believe God is when he reveals his goodness in your life. Maybe you're someone who's been kind of on the fence about God. Maybe you're watching online and you've been kind of on the fence about whether or not to serve the Lord and give your life to God. I'm going to tell you right now, you won't see God's goodness until you choose to believe by faith, until you choose to obey God's word, till you choose to jump in and say, God, here I am. Here I am. I'm here for you, God. Do what you do, God, in my life. You won't see God's goodness. And these blind men literally could not see, but they had heard the word of God. And I want to let you know, maybe you can't see your answer. Maybe you can't see your healing yet. Maybe you can't see the finish of this storm that you've been in. Maybe you can't see the other side of the mountain. But if you will trust God, walk in faith with God and follow after him, like these blind men followed after Jesus, you will receive your sight. And Jesus said here in verse number 28, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And this is what God is asking each and every one of us today. Do you believe that God is able? I don't know what it is that you're believing for, but you have to set in your heart that God is able to do it. God is able to transform and change whatever matters concern you. And their answer was, yes, yes, Lord, we do believe. And in verse number 29, then he touched their eyes according to their faith. Let it be done to you. God meets you at whatever conditions you set. If you have a, if you set a condition that you believe that God can bring you sight, then guess what? God will bring you sight. If you set a condition that I believe that God will send me someone that will hold my hand and take me around for the rest of my life because I can't believe that God can restore my sight, then that's fine, whatever. That's what God will do. But if you have faith that God can heal you, if you have faith that God can save your children, if you have faith that God can restore your marriage, if you have faith that God can fix your financial situation, then guess what you'll do? You'll follow him. You'll believe him, you'll obey him, and you'll submit yourself and everything that you have to him. There's so many people who struggle financially, who are trying to make ends meet financially, but they have in the word of God the answer that they need. They just don't want to do it. They just don't want to follow it. God is saying that if you sow into my house, if you give into good ground, then there will be an abundance of an increase, a harvest, that windows of heaven that we just read that will be poured out in your life. But they don't believe it. They may think that's, you know, that's a good thought. But to believe in God, to have faith in God, means that you go ahead and you follow him. And these blind men, even though they couldn't physically see him, even though they couldn't see Jesus, they followed Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those type of people that wherever Jesus is, wherever God is going, I want to follow him. Wherever, Lord, wherever you want to take me, God, I am going to that place. God, I may not see it all right now, but I'm going to follow you. I may have not been able to see for my whole life, but now in this moment, I'm going to choose to follow you. And as they followed Jesus without having even seen him, they hadn't even seen him yet. They had just heard that he can heal, and they chose to follow him with no sight. They followed him. They followed his voice. They followed his word. They followed the preachers who preached about Jesus. Did you know this man named Jesus, he can heal? And they followed him, and as they followed him, they received their sight. And guess what happened? When they received their sight, they saw Jesus. Some of you, maybe you're saying, you know, I haven't really experienced God's goodness in my life, and I don't know if I really want to follow him like that. I'm going to let you know that it's not until you choose to follow him that you will see him. David said, I am persuaded that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. How do you see the goodness of God? How do you see him in a land full of darkness? You choose to follow him even when you don't see. Even when you can't see the answers, you follow him. Even when it's dark, you follow him. Turn to somebody and say, follow him. So turn to somebody and say, no matter what, follow him. You follow him. You follow him because he has the answers that you need. You follow close. Some of y'all need to get a little closer. Follow a little closer than you could before. Close enough for him to reach out and touch you. Some of you have been following from afar. You've been kind of checking him out from a distance. You've been kind of viewing him from afar. But if you get a little closer, if you follow him, the Bible says that they followed him into the house. Hey, this reminds me of those men who cut a hole in that roof and lowered their friend down into that place where Jesus was, because Jesus answered and he saw them do that, and he said that he saw their faith. What do you mean he saw their faith? He saw them cut a hole in the roof of the house and lower their friend in. That's what faith looks like. Faith looks like cutting a hole in the roof and doing whatever it takes to get your friend to Jesus. Faith looks like you are blind. You can't even see where you're going, but you're going to follow the word of God wherever he's at. That's what faith looks like. Faith is a faith to follow. We have to have a faith to follow. Write that down. I need to have a faith to follow. We have to have a following kind of faith. where it doesn't matter where God wants to take you, you're going to follow him because he is your source. He is your portion. He is your everything. I remember years ago when my child, our oldest child, Donald III, he was sick and he was 1 year old. And so, you know, at first we thought it was just a regular, some type of, you know, common cold or something like that. But after a few days, just like the Bible says, he grew worse instead of getting better. And we had prayed for him to be healed. And so we started taking him to doctors because his face turned pale and his lips were like blue and he was cold. And so we started sweating and we took him to the doctor. We started taking him to different doctors. And we took him to a number of doctors who said, I don't know, he looks fine to me. Everything looks fine to me. But we knew our own child because, you know, as a parent, you know your kid. And we said, no, he's not. There's something going on here. And we're going to get the answer that we need. And we were persistent. And in our persistence, we eventually found a doctor who was able to diagnose him with something known as Kawasaki disease, which is an autoimmune disease where your immune system begins to attack itself and work overtime and cause your body to essentially start to shut down. And so we took him, that doctor, you know, kind of came up with a plan to treat him. And we took him and they admitted him. And it's something crazy to see your one-year-old child with all these tubes and all these, you know, things coming out of him and things like that. And it broke our heart. And what we did was we prayed to God. We came to the Lord and we said bye. We quoted the scripture. See, you got to be close to Jesus in order to know how to fight when the enemy tries to attack. You got to be close to the word of God in order to be able to know what it says. You got to get a little closer to God in order to be able to have the tools to be able to properly fight, because they told us that this particular disease was going to have a long-term effect, a matter of fact, a lifelong effect. And it was going to have an effect, an impact on his heart, and that he would be on medication and that he would have to do treatments for the rest of his life. And we heard that and we said, okay, we hear what you're saying, but we know what our God has already said, that by his stripes we are healed. Faith is not denying the facts. Faith is believing the truth of what Jesus has said. Faith is saying, I hear what you have to say. That may be your fact, your fact on paper, but my God has a truth that supersedes, that transcends any facts that anyone could present to me. And we spoke healing over his body. We took him, after he finished his initial treatment, we took him to the specialist, to the cardiologist, and they wrote him a clean bill of health. They said we thought he was going to have to take some medicine for a week or so. They said he don't need to take nothing. He is completely and utterly healed. I'm talking about having faith in a God who can heal, who can restore, who can set free, who can change the narrative. The facts come one way and they leave seven ways, because our God is the answer. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we have access to. Day and night. You don't have to wait until you come to church to meet with God. You meet with God in that hospital bed, in the hospital room. You meet with God in your own home. You meet with God in your children's room when they're struggling and sick and the enemy's trying to put something on them. You meet with God right there. Guess what? As we follow the Lord, as we follow after his word, we receive everything that he has for us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and he say, man, there's so much more that I had for you while you went through that experience on earth. Don't you know that it could have been a lot better for you? Don't you know that you didn't have to wait until you died to experience heaven? You could have experienced it right there. Don't you know that you could have had a life and a testimony that you could have told the world about, and you could have shared your testimony, and God could have took you all over the world to be able to tell what God has done and what God can do? Don't you know that you had so much that I wanted to do through you? I don't want to be that person who gets to the end of my life and stands before God and he says, yeah, it wasn't just about the sweet by and by. I had a gift for you while you were on that earth. And the truth is that God intends, he intends to do mighty works through each and every one of us who are part of this ministry. I can't speak for every other church because I don't know what they believe, but we believe in a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we need to learn how to stop complaining. Stop complaining when situations come your way, when trials come your way. It's just an opportunity for God to show what he can do. Stop complaining. Stop doubting God. Stop being fearful. Don't be like the 10 spies and say that we can't because they're strong. You need to say, just like Caleb and Joshua, we can because he who is in us is stronger. We are able. We are able. We are able. Notice Caleb said, we are able. Not just God is well able, but we are well able because the God that we have with us enables us. We sitting around waiting for God, and God is waiting for us. He enables us to get up, to move, to act, to walk, to seize whatever he's placed in front of us that belongs to us. God is with us, church. God is with us. We are turning the corner as a ministry. You can close your Bible. We are turning the corner as a ministry on what was into what God has for us. And he's doing some wonderful things. We've already heard a testimony today about God healing someone from a diagnosis of cancer. It doesn't stop there. I believe that this is going to break out all amongst this congregation. I believe we're going to hear testimonies of God doing miraculous things all amongst this congregation. You don't have to believe it, but I believe it. We just need a couple of people to be a Caleb or a Joshua who are going to believe that we are well able. Because guess what? Guess what? Because of the report of 10, all of the nation was stuck in the wilderness. Because of the report of only 10, the whole nation wasted 40 years. I'm telling you, if we come together as a church together, we encourage one another, we charge each other up in the things of God. We come and we receive the word, not as the word of man, but as the word of God. I'm telling you, there is no limit to what God can do through us, in us, and around us. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord God, we thank you, God, for the plans that you have for our life, God. We believe, we trust, and we agree with every good thing that you're working on in our life, Lord God. We know you've already perfected it. You've perfected the end from the beginning, God. And so now it's our opportunity, it's our responsibility to walk it out, God. Lord, we pray that as we walk and follow after you, God, follow after the promise, follow after your word, God, we pray that you will meet us in that place. Lord, we know that we need to believe and rely and trust in you like never before. That this world is confused and lost. They have questions, but you are the answer. God, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for healing our bodies, for restoring our souls. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. With your head still bowed and your eyes.
Thank you for joining us for church. We pray that this message blessed you.
If you'd like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you as a sinner.
I come to you as a sinner.
In need of a Savior.
In need of a Savior.
I believe you sent your Son.
I believe you sent your Son.
To die for my sins.
To die for my sins.
And today. I confess.
I confess.
I am saved.
That I am saved.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we believe you are saved, and we would love to hear about it. Please visit our website at packchurch.org and contact us.
Amen. And we'll see you again next time.